much. I think the music has been outstanding today, don't you? I really do. I sense the fire in the music, fire of God in the music. I rejoice in that. This morning, Brother Marty said, he said, he's got an announcement to make. So he makes one announcement. You should have made two announcements, because this morning you said, come back tonight. Well, the second announcement would be, come back Wednesday night. That would be the second announcement. So praise the Lord. Good to have you tonight. What is a pastor? P-A-S-T-O-R. I is one for over 50 years. And I want to talk about what a pastor is tonight. You've had a pastor, Lashley, for 40-something years. You have Brother Jody for 9 years, whatever. You've got to get a new pastor. Young man. What is he, 40 what? 46? I can't remember when I was 46. Can you remember when you were 46, Brother Lashley? Been long, huh? Faded out, doesn't it? So I want to take each letter of the word pastor tonight, and I hope that it will help you to understand what God is doing here in our church. I still call it my church because I enjoy you folks immensely, and I'll miss you, but I'll be back. I'm like a bad penny. I just keep showing up. I'll come back occasionally, and I've had such a wonderful time with the. On Saturday morning, we have a prayer meeting, and some of us go out and have breakfast. And Pastor Lashley lies every Saturday morning. He tells his wife he's had oatmeal, and he's had biscuits and gravy. Then I like going to the deacon's meeting so I can sit near Larry Trent to keep him straight. That's been a blessing in my life. So many good things, so many good friends that I and my wife had made here. You women have been so wonderful to my wife. Thank you so much. She's the best wife I've ever had. Great gal. Thank the Lord for her. Pray for us. But I want to take each letter of the word pastor. First P, he's a preacher. First and foremost, that's what a pastor really is. He's a preacher. I want you to turn in your Bible. We'll be turning to several references, but the first one is Jeremiah chapter 1, if you will, please, because a preacher is three things, I believe. Number one, he is called of God, and he carries out his ministry through God's enablement. And he also must be conscious of the pit from which he's been saved. I know too many pastors today have not been conscious of the pit from which they've been saved. And that will be beginning of a downfall if you're not careful. Turn to Jeremiah 1 here. And we notice some things. First, a call of God. That's what a preacher is. Look there, if you will, please, in verse 5, 6, and 7, if you will. He says in verse 5, referring to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." And so I will tell you, a preacher, first of all, is a sovereign calling of God. Even before Jeremiah was born, God knew he would be a preacher someday. Long before I was born, God had sovereign calling before my birth. It was not only a sovereign calling in that verse, before they came out of the womb, "I sanctified thee." It was a separated calling. He was set apart. And I thought of my own life, and I often meditate on the fact, I can't believe God called me to be a preacher. But only by the grace of God is he, not only in his sovereign calling, but in his separated calling from my past. Somebody asked my wife how long she knew me, or something like that. And if she knew me before I got saved, she would never have wanted to marry me. And then I'm glad that God came into my life. I want you to notice in this text, it's not only a sovereign come. Before he was born, and
He was also a sanctified, a separated calling, but it also was a spatial calling, and ordained thee a prophet into the nations. Now, I've been ordained twice. First by God. If you're not ordained by God, the second one doesn't matter one bit. And I was ordained by God. And then I'll never forget my ordination. It lasted 3.5 hours. And as they examined me because of the college from which I graduated from, and so they were skeptical of me, and it was 3.5 hours. It was like the Great Tribulation period. But by God's grace, I made it through it, and I'm thankful for that. So first of all, a preacher is called of God. He's called of God. Not only that, he carries on his ministry through God's enablement. Turn to the New Testament, to 1 Timothy, and there in chapter 1. So take a moment to turn over there in chapter 1, if you will, please. In verse 12, not only is he called of God, but he carries out his ministry of God through God's enablement. Look there in verse 12. He said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. He was gifted with God's abilities. I think I re-mentioned one to you one time, the first message that I ever preached. That's over 51 years ago. It lasted 10 minutes. Hard for you to believe. And I know we'll forget it because I know for sure that the angels of heaven wept. And the flag of heaven was lowered at half mass when I preached that message. My wife looked at me and could tell, you really blew it big time, bud. But that was my first message. And at that time, I was ready to quit. I said, Lord, I obviously you haven't called me. But whom God calls, he enables. He said, who hath enabled? So it is a gifted with his ability. A man who is called to preach, he's gifted with God's ability. It's not his. And notice that, for that he counted me faithful. It's not only was a preacher, as a preacher gifted with his ability, but he's graced with his approval. Notice he says, he counted me faithful. But it's only by the grace of God that a preacher is faithful, by God's grace. And then not only was in this text he is gifted with his God's ability, not his own, and the moment that a preacher thinks it's him, he's in serious trouble. And he's also graced with God's approval because he's faithful. There's several men, I have to be blunt, in the ministry today. I don't understand why they're there. I won't go into that, but that's between them and God. Then, because they're not faithful to the Scriptures, putting me in the ministry here, and that's guided by his providence, putting me in the ministry. I'll never forget in my own case, and if you don't mind, I have to sometimes reminisce a little bit. I remember meeting with the administrator, with the guidance council, the school I went to, and he said to me, well, I look at your transcripts, you'll never make it through here. And he said, you sure God maybe had not called you to be a plumber or a carpenter? If you know anything about, we have a toolbox at home. Marilyn does a great job with it. She begs that I don't even open it when we have a problem of that kind. But I'm thankful for those three truths because he's not only called of God, but he carries out his ministry through God's enablement. Gifted with God's ability, grace with God's approval, guided by God's providence. I believe God guided me here for these last 7 months. It was God's in it. There's no reason why you would have picked me. And matter of fact, if you'd have probably checked with some people, you probably wouldn't have picked me up here. So you're all responsible, you fellows. It's your fault I'm here. Okay. But he also must not only, as a preacher, be called of God and carries out his ministry through God's enablement, but he must be conscious of the pit from which he was saved. I don't know why God put me in the ministry. Look here, if you will, please, in verse 15. There is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul was conscious of of the pit from which he was saved. Matter of fact, two other times he'll make comments. He'll say over there in Ephesians that I'm the less of the least of the prophets, of the preachers, and prophets, apostles, I guess the word is there. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. Paul never forgot the pit from which he was saved. And the preacher who does that will not make it as God wants him to make it. So he's a preacher. He is an administrator. He's an administrator. He oversees the affairs of the church. What does he do? He gives the church the vision. And over there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 18, would you just take a moment to turn there to Proverbs 29? Because I want you to get that verse that is meant here in verse 18. Often we will use that verse in reference to getting the visions for lost souls, and that's okay in the application. That's really not what the verse means. When he says in verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keep the law, happy is he. He's referring to having a vision within yourself that God gives you. And I believe this pastor who is coming will have a vision. These men would not have even thought of calling him, bringing him here, if he did not have a vision for doing great things and follow through what already has been done. He not only will give the church a vision, he will guide the church from apostasy. And I think of apostasy, I think in three ways. Apostasy is the new paths. So many churches want to go with the new paths that Jeremiah reminded us not to get involved in those new paths. Maintain. He not only new paths, but neglect of the Word of God. Never, 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 never allow anyone to change this book. Never, ever allow that. If you do, I'll personally come back and burn the building down. Because this book is sacred. It's inspired and it is preserved. And Brother Herdman believes every bit of what I just said. And I'm happy about that. Not only does he, as an administrator, give the church a vision and guard the church from apostasy, but he'll guide the church in their affairs. Now, when I was pastoring my last church, we were running about 650, I think, when I left there. We had about 65, 66 employees because we had a school with it. And if you want to get even with anybody, talk them into having a school. That's a good way to get even. But anyway, we had a Christian school. And when I think about my guiding it, and I would always hire people in areas where were my weaknesses. Preacher's a fool who doesn't recognize his weaknesses. Where he hires people to help him with that. And he will do that. He will do that. So he's a preacher, first and foremost. You still call Brother Lastly preacher. I call him some other names, but I can't. No, I see good names. He's my friend, and I love him very much. And we served together for many years at Ambassador Baptist College on the board. There he was rather quiet and reserved. When I got to know him, wow. It's not the same Brother Lastly that I now know, which is okay. And I thank the Lord for him. He guides the church affairs. You are to recognize that in him. He's the administrator. He's the one God has called here to do that. He's not only P, a preacher, A, an administrator. He's S, and I think very important, he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He feeds the sheep. I thought of over there in Psalm 23, verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He satisfies you with a lush meal of the Word of God. And I will tell you, when your pastor comes, much like Brother Lashley would do, he will feed you things you may not like. My wife, bless her heart, she thinks I must eat carrots. I don't understand that one. I don't like them. Only thing I like about carrots is the color orange, because in my color blindness, that's the same color as the grass in the summertime. But I eat them because she wants me to eat them, trying to keep me healthy to eat them. So sometimes he'll give you things and feed you things that you are not going to like, but you're going to need. You're going to need everything he teaches you. You're going to need it. He not only feeds you, he'll lead you. He'll see the needs of the church, of his sheep. Proverbs 27, verse 23 says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks." He will not only feed, he will lead you. And he will need you. Oftentimes people would ask me in my ministry down through the years, what do you do for recreation? What are your hobbies? My people were always my hobbies. I just enjoyed being around them, getting in trouble with them, eating biscuits and gravy with them instead of oatmeal, whatever it would take, because that was my hobbies. And I believe that's every preacher's hobby, is his people, to love them and to need them and to be around them. He's a pastor. He is an administrator. He is a shepherd, and he is a teacher of God's word. Turn with me to Ephesians 4 for a moment. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, as you turn there, go to that chapter. It's a great chapter in Ephesians. And he talks about here in chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastor teachers. Oftentimes I will get an evangelist tell me, notice they put the pastor teacher, put the evangelist before the pastor teacher. I said, I know that. He always saved the best to last. And some pastor teachers. Why? First, look at verse 12. To train you for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting here has the idea of helping you to grow and mature, to become what God wants you to be. I thought of times in my ministry that I've seen just people grow, and nothing excited a pastor more than to see his flock grow. And then I look here again in verse 12, not only for the perfecting of the saints, that is to train you for the work of the ministry, to turn you into workers. Turn you into workers, bus workers, Sunday school teachers, training you, turning you into workers. And then those remaining verses down to verse 15, he, as not only a teacher of God's word, to train you and turn you into workers, but to touch your lives in a special way. I look here, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge, verse 13, the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. You're helping you to grow up. I remember so many times some folks in my church, I was thinking of a man by the name of Jim Ballant. Marilyn, when I say that name, you will reminisce many years ago. Jim was a fellow who just had a temper. He just, and I know God wanted to use Jim, but he would just explode.
and then he would repent. I remember the time he came to me with tears running down his cheeks. And I said, "What's wrong, Jim?" He said, "I was down at the laundromat." And he said, "This dear old lady, sweet little lady, came in to put her clothes and wash them. And in came two dirty looking, what I called dirty hippies. And they went up to this lady to try to get money off of her. And I went up to one of them. I said, "Sir, please leave that lady alone." And he said, "What are you going to do about it, fatso?" Well, there went his temper. He hit the one. The other one started running out the door. He grabbed him by the collar, took him over to one of those commercial dryers, threw him in, closed the door, and put a quarter in it. And then it dawned on him, I could kill him doing this. So he's in my office, and I'm on my knees with Jim Ballant, praying, "Oh God, help him not to throw anybody else in the laundromat." We laugh at those incidents, but you will find, as a pastor, will have those kind of dealings in his ministry. I wanted Jim to grow. Matter of fact, I will forget, he was just a big guy, and he loved to eat. He would go over to the Air Force. He was not in the Air Force, but he worked for them over there, and he'd go in the morning and order 18 eggs for breakfast. And I said to Jim one day, I said, "I'm trying to get a woman in his life." And I said, "Jim, you need to take a girl out. Before you do, go eat at a smorgasbord, then take this girl out and date her and have a regular meal." You laugh at this, but you help him grow. You didn't get all that in college, brother. You didn't get that in college, but you love your people. And I, more than once, have held the hand, one going out into eternity, with the other hand maybe around a mother or a father, a husband or a wife, letting them know that I cared. And I have found people do not care what you know until they know that you care. Mark that. They do not care what you know until they know you really care for them. I believe this church is well on its way to greater things because of past shepherds, particularly the one sitting right there. He has told me some wild stories about you. See me privately. I sell those stories at a good price. He is not only P, a preacher, A, an administrator, S, a shepherd, T, a teacher of God's word, but he is an overseer of the flock. I have appreciated the attitude of our deacons, for when this man comes, they will turn the reins over to them. Him. And that excites me. I've seen that in every one of them. Matter of fact, they can't wait for that. They can go back to normal lives. But I have a feeling with Brother Herdman as your pastor, nothing around here will be normal. And that's good. That's good. Think with me as you turn with me to the book of Titus for a moment. And as you turn to that chapter 1, a book of Titus, you will see here in verse 5, because when I think of him as an overseer, there are three names for a pastor. He is called an elder. That's his person. He is called a bishop. That's his position, and he is called a pastor. That's his purpose. All three of those are found in a pastor, overseer, elder. Look over there in verse 5. "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things which are wanting, and ordain elders in every city." The word elder here is the word presbyteros.
It means not the word elder has nothing to do with his age. Whatever you do, don't you dare reject this man in any way because he's younger than you. Because he's not talking about age, he's talking about authority here as an elder. That's the thought of that word in itself. If I go over there, or the same passage, go down to verse 7, for a bishop, that's the same person mentioned in verse 5. But there it deals with his position, the oversight. And I will tell you, you might want to write thought in your mind, he must be a servant leader. I don't believe that God wants a pastor to be a dictator. I'd never wanted to be a dictator. I always wanted to be a sweet tater. Come on, folks, laugh when I do those things. To be a sweet. And I think he's that. It's obvious that he loves people. And then I think of that word pastor, because that's his purpose, to feed you, to lead you, and to need you, and to do the work that God has for him. Then the last word, or that letter, is the word letter, restorer of the sheep. You will find there will be those who will turn their back in this church on its leadership. There are people who, across America, a year ago were in good Bible-believing churches but are not there now. You must help that pastor to go after those people. Hello? Help them to go after those people. There are no big shots in the family of God. We're all equal, and we all have needs. And we realize that. I am not, can remember so many times over my years. We're probably not going to do 10 more interims. We're probably going to very soon. Although I've got the opportunity, I'm going to Wyoming. I'm going to California. I've got 3 or 4 other places. Some Maryland doesn't know about. But I'm glad for the years God has given me. And I'm thinking of the sheep. I remember a man, I just call his name Bob. That's his first name. On the 1st of March, they will have a memorial service for Bob, because he committed suicide. Ended his life. But before he did that, he left his wife. He abandoned his children. By the way, he was our music director. And we did our best to see that he would recover, but he wouldn't come back. I think of a man by the name of Frank. I remember the day that he left his wife, and I went after him all night long. I went from place to place looking for him. And when I found him, I finally got him into my office, and he said, I am leaving my wife. I'm leaving the church. I'm going my own direction. I said, Bob, you're not leaving, or Frank, you're not leaving before I have some things to say to you. He started out the door. Now, Brother Lashley, they never taught this in school, to use chair psychology. I just picked one up and threw it at him, blocked him from going out, and wept as he told me, and he lost his children because of his decision. There'll be more of that, folks, in our churches because of the times in which we live as well. But please help your pastor to go after them. strange sheep. I'm going to, Lord willing, next Sunday talk about two or three Sunday. I've only got two or three left, four left. Unless you fire me, go for it. On the prodigal son. There's actually three sons involved in that story, and I'll talk about that next week. But I think about those who may not have, who have not here tonight or not here today or won't be coming to church. Let's go after them. Let's keep our church. It's good to have new ones coming in. Amen? It's good to see people saved, but let's not forget the ones that are not right with God. So as we close tonight in this thought, remember he's a preacher. Remember, he used to be the administrator, and there'll be things that you won't understand. He'll do what he's doing. I will never forget the day I introduced Faith Promise to our church, Charleston. I mean, I had opposition you wouldn't believe. And then when we noticed that when we took on Faith Promise, our general fund was increasing, and everything because. But I had a hard time understanding what I was doing. He will make decisions. You'll have a hard time understanding at first. Let him do it. Shepherd the flock. Teach God's word, overseer, and restore. Now, as we close tonight, I want to do something that I haven't asked the deacons to do. But I'm still your interim pastor. I would like for all the deacons and their wives to come forward here tonight. You would not have the person you have if it was not for the deacons you have. I have been received four calls from a church in South Carolina who split over a decisions of the deacons to get a new pastor when that old one left. You have this unity because these men have been filled with the Spirit of God. And I want them to come forward tonight. I'm not making a big deal out of them. But if they don't come forward, I'm just going to stand up here until you do come forward. So I was you, I'd get out of my seat and come down here. Move it! I want their wives to come with them because they have shared in the grief, in the comments. And you know how easy it is to say, well, they did what they're supposed to do, but you're going to forget about them. Don't you forget about these people. God has used them tremendously. They have held this church together in a way that a lot of churches would like to have this group of men. You say, well, why are you praising your deacon? Because they need to be praised. They need to be honored. Even Jeff and Becky, who finally coming up. Maybe he was thinking, am I still a deacon? I don't know what he was thinking, but anyway, he's here. What I want to do tonight is, as we close, as many of you would like, would you come by and just thank them? Are you thankful for them? Amen. Now, they're not going to slough off. They're going to keep busy for the Lord. They're going to help the preacher as you need to. I just want us all to stand. It's a little different service tonight, but I like being different. And I just want you to, I'm going to have Brother Lashley come to the platform and give. Okay, see, he's still in charge. Do we get a mic for him? Can we get a mic? Yeah, there you go. He'll do it down there. I want him to pray over these deacons. It's all right, you've already sung one song. I thought you were going to sing a song for a minute. And then when he's through, why don't you just leave your seat, come down, and just tell him how much you've appreciated him. Will you do that? They did not know I was going to. If they knew that, they'd say, preacher, don't do that.
I did it anyway because it's the right thing to do. Go ahead, Brother Lashley.
Not only should we stand behind our new pastor coming in, but we should stand behind the deacons. There's two offices in the church, pastor and deacons. And we ought to love them and thank God for them. And I thank God for the way these men, and they wanted a man with standards. By the way, this man has standards. Amen. Of holy living. Amen. And this church is not worth 5 cents if it goes into a church that's no standards. Now, God says, be holy for what? I am holy. And if you're born again, you'll have the Holy Spirit will work on you on that. I better not preach now. You almost got me on some preaching.
Chair if you want me to.
I don't need a chair. I'm feeling pretty good here.
Amen. Go ahead and pray.
Well, thank God for these deacons. You thank God for them too.
Amen.
They've done a great work. And they've had unity and they've tried to be led by the Spirit of God. That's why we got a good man. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the deacons. Lord, I don't how to know how to praise them, but Lord, I thank you that you call these men to the job of being a deacon. And Lord, they performed a great task in sifting through 29 preachers and arriving at a God-called man with standards and loves a bus ministry and loves the Word of God, loves holy living. We thank you for that. Thank you for leading these men, Lord, to this precious man. And I pray you'd anoint Brother Herdman as he comes in and give him a great ministry of winning souls to Christ and building up the saints and reaching people for Christ. God, I just thank you for this good message. Thank you for leading Brother John over this way. He's been a great blessing. Lord, you've been good to us. We praise your high and holy name. Thank you for Jesus tonight. We have a wonderful Savior. Lord, you're God, your Son. We love him. And thank you that he died on the cross and shed his blood to cover my sins and the sins of every believer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. And may as we come in, may all of us just brag on Jesus and lift up Jesus around here. Lord, if we know if we'll do that, Lord, you bless this place. Just make much of Jesus and help them do it. We thank you, Lord, for this good service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.